Tonight, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 11. And as we get further into Proverbs, I don't know, Mr. Greg, maybe you probably feel this way too, but it gets harder to pick which verses to talk about because we've left the part of Proverbs where the whole chapter is kind of like one big like lesson combined. And now we have a lot of verses that all have a lot of really good stuff in them, and you feel like, I don't want to leave these out. Hey, time to be quiet right now. All right, so I'm going to try to do something a little different tonight. I don't just want to read through the whole chapter because I think a lot of you at the end of it will just be sitting there staring at me like this.
What?
With a blank stare.
That's what we do every year.
And you'll just think, oh, well, that was a lot of information. I don't know what to think about that. So we're going to try to not do that tonight, although we are going to read several verses, but...
We promise not to.
Shh. All right, first thing, I need you to be quiet, remember? Be quiet so that everybody can hear. Okay, so chapter 11 is a chapter that has a lot of comparisons, and I know we've talked about that kind of every week, but this one is every verse just about has the... righteous or the good or the upright, they act this way and it is a good thing for them. And the wicked person or the violent person or the evil person acts in this way and it gives them these bad consequences that come into their life. Okay? So this whole chapter kind of goes back and forth like that, like some of our other chapters. But this one specifically really focuses on how we interact with people when it comes to especially our money, okay? So the very first thing that it talks about in chapter 1 or verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Now, who understands what that means? Oh, nobody understands what that means. Well, that's, I should probably stop and help you understand that, right? That'd be a good thing. So, we don't do this too much anymore, but it used to be, and I've never even done this really, but it used to be you'd go to the store and you'd kind of go to a, like the, maybe the produce section, and you would weigh like how much fruit you'd want or vegetables. Some stores still kind of have that. Now, you just kind of grab everything you want and you go, and when you check out, you put it on the little scanner thing and it maybe you know, gives you the weight and then it rings up, but you don't like take things back out if you, you know, are a little bit too heavy. But it used to be you'd kind of like put it on that scale and you'd put in enough to make it a certain weight and you knew how much it would cost and kind of had a good idea of, oh, I'm going to spend this much money to buy this, okay? Sometimes you do that if you buy, have you ever bought like deli meat or cheese? They'll have that big scale up there and you'll watch the numbers go up as they put more on it. And they usually don't get it exactly at like a perfect weight. And so what this is talking about is it's saying, so imagine you went to the grocery store and while they were putting whatever you were buying on the scale, they also put their thumb on the back side of it and they kind of pressed down a little bit and made it read heavier than it actually was and they charged you more. Would you be happy about that?
No.
So they're charging you for more than you actually got. That's what that verse is talking about. So it's talking about someone who's being dishonest in the way that they are selling you something. All right? So really that first verse is about someone who's being dishonest or cheating you, right? And it says that God does not like that. It says it's an abomination. That means he hates that. He hates when somebody cheats somebody else and acts dishonestly towards them. All right, so that's kind of where we start, the very first verse. So that kind of sets everything else for the way the rest of the chapter goes. Number four, it talks about what chapter, verse 4, it says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Why would somebody cheat you? Why would somebody put their thumb on the scale and make you pay them more money than what you actually bought? What would be their purpose for that?
To
Okay, right. They're going to get more money and they don't have to give you as much. So they could maybe, if they do that to everybody, they could get rich over time, right? So verse 4 tells us, though, that when judgment comes at the end of all of this, riches aren't going to help that person, is it? All that money that they may have stolen from other people by acting that way, that's not going to help them a bit when they get caught and they're standing before a judge, right? All that, all those riches aren't going to help them a bit when they're guilty of doing that. All right, so let's keep going down a little bit further. So those are things that happen to someone who behaves in that way. Well, what is the opposite of that? It says that the righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way. Now, this is a really important thing to remember when we're reading in Proverbs. Who is righteous? Is anyone righteous? We've talked about this the last couple of years. It's one of the questions that we would ask. Is anyone righteous? Is anyone do everything exactly right all the time and obey God completely and totally? No. No. Okay. So, in Proverbs, it uses this term, the righteous man or the righteous person or the righteous woman. So, when it's talking about that, it's talking about being righteous in the way that we think of people as we live and interact with people on earth. Like, have you ever said, well, that person's a really good person? Why would you call someone a good person? Even if you know sometimes they do some wrong things, normally they what? They tell the truth, they're honest, they treat people with kindness. Those are the kinds of people that we normally think of as, well, they're a good person, right? Someone who doesn't cheat people, we would say is a good person. That's what Proverbs is talking about here when it says the righteous person, okay? So I want you to make sure you understand that, because like we've talked about, can anyone be good enough to earn their way to heaven? Can anyone be righteous enough on their own to earn their way to heaven? Roman. No, the Bible tells us that we are not righteous, right? In fact, it says none are righteous. That's what the Bible says. So that can be a little bit confusing, but I wanted to just kind of mention that, and we'll talk about that later on. So this is talking about people as we interact here on earth. Some people are better at treating people the right way, right? And a lot of times we'll call them good. And then people who don't treat people the right way, what do you call them? They are a mean person, right? Or a bad person. They're a bad person. You say they're mean. They treat people, maybe they are a bully, right? Maybe they steal things from people. Maybe they cheat and they get away with it. Oh, that's even worse, isn't it? When you know somebody cheated and you didn't, yeah, and they got a better grade on their test, doesn't that really just upset you? Yeah. You're like, they got away with it. That's not fair, right? That's what we think. And somebody that does that, I think oftentimes we think, they're a bad person, right? So when it's talking about people who are wicked or people that are bad, it's talking about in the way that we kind of interact with people here on earth. Okay, so as we keep going down here, it says this in verse 9. It says, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. So what that's talking about is this person who is cheating people and stealing, not only do oftentimes they do that, but then they talk bad about other people to kind of distract people maybe from all the things that they're doing. So they like to spend a lot of time putting down other people and talking about how bad they are, oftentimes so that nobody kind of looks at the way that they're acting. That's what that verse is talking about. It says the mouth of the godless man destroys his neighbor. It means that they want everybody to be looking at the neighbor and thinking, oh man, they're really bad. They're terrible. So be careful when somebody comes up to you and wants to start talking bad about somebody else. It might mean that they're trying to hide some things that they're doing. They want to get your focus on somebody else. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. So when good people, when things are going well for people that are obeying God's laws and commands, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. Now that doesn't sound very good, does it? But have you ever cheered when someone got caught for doing something wrong? And you think, ah, yes, they got what they deserved, right? Yes. Sometimes we feel happy about that, don't we? Now, this is not quite as serious, but Mr. Greg will understand this. But a few years ago, there's a baseball team that cheated to win the World Series. It was the Houston Astros, and they got caught. It was a couple years later, but it came out that they had actually been cheating when they won the World Series. And you know what happened? They didn't take the World Series win away from them. Some of the people got in trouble, but they got to keep the championship trophy. All right? Well, we won't get into all that. But anyway, but they made it back. I don't know if you pay attention to baseball, but they made it back to the World Series this year. Hopefully not because they were cheating. Hopefully they learned their lesson. But I'll tell you what, I am not a fan of the Atlanta Braves, but I loved it that they beat the Astros because I was like, ha, they lost. That made me happy because I felt like, hey, at least they didn't get to celebrate another championship because they got to celebrate one they didn't deserve before. So sometimes when people get punishment, we're happy about that, aren't we? When they catch someone who is stealing or who is someone who's doing, you know, things that are very evil and wicked, we are happy about that, aren't we? That those people are not out there anymore to hurt other people. So that's what that's talking about. It says, when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. When someone gets what they deserve for their evil behavior, that's a good thing. That's justice. And we like that when justice takes place. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. All right, we're going to go on a little bit here. Verse number 13, it says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. What do you think that means? What do you call a person who tells everybody's secrets? Are they a good friend or a bad friend?
The worst friend.
Okay. Yeah, someone that goes around telling everybody they know about you. Maybe you told some things in secret or some things that were, you know, pretty private, and then all of a sudden they go around telling everybody else about it. You think, that's a bad friend, right? That is not a good friend. Okay, so I think you all understand that one. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. A good friend, they keep those things in confidence. They understand that you didn't tell them that because you wanted them to go tell everybody else. You told them that because you needed a friend to hear what was going on in your life, right? Someone who could listen to you and keep that a secret. Okay, so we all kind of understand what it looks like when someone is being bad and someone is acting good, right? We kind of know that. How do we usually know that? How do we typically tell, well, that person is acting good or that person's acting bad? Okay, a lot of times by the way we kind of respond to it, right? Like if someone is lying and cheating and stealing and telling all of our secrets and talking bad about us all the time, it's pretty easy for us to understand that is a bad way to behave. But Just because we understand that something is a bad way to act or a bad way to treat someone or something that would be bad to do as a friend, does that always keep us from doing those same things? Just knowing why something is wrong, does that stop us from doing those things all the time? No, unfortunately, it doesn't stop us from doing those. We still do those things even though we know they're bad, even though we know they're wrong, even though we know, as chapter 11 says here, that there are punishments for people who act that way, we still sometimes do those things. Why is that? Why is that? Roman. Well,
because we're foolish and we don't know if it's good or not.
All right. Sometimes we are foolish. Sometimes we don't know enough to do the right thing. Sometimes we just don't want to do the right thing, though. Sometimes we think, well, you know what? Maybe you've thought this. Well, this person I know in my class cheated and they got an A, so maybe I could figure out a way that I could cheat and maybe I'd get a better grade and hopefully I won't get caught. Sometimes we think that way. We see somebody else that we feel like got away with something, and so then we think, well, maybe I could try and do that. Maybe I could get ahead doing that same thing. So there's all sorts of reasons why we get caught in those traps, though, of acting in a foolish way or in a wicked way. And we need to know what happens when we do that. Because like we said before, we're all sinful, right? None of us is perfect. None of us are righteous, perfectly righteous. What are we going to do about that? Well, when we come down to the end of the chapter here, I'm going to see what time it is. The clock's gone. When we come down to the end of the chapter, it talks about how are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to treat other people? In verse 24, it says, "There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want." And then the next verse kind of explains what that means. "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." So what that's talking about is, a lot of times we think, oh, well, to be successful or to be rich, I need to be selfish, and I need to keep everything I get for myself. I need to be greedy. It leads to all those kind of things like cheating and stealing and talking bad about other people. All those things kind of go with that idea that I just need to be worried about myself and make sure I get as much as I can. All right? All those other kind of sinful behaviors, they all get wrapped up in that selfish idea that I need to get ahead and I need to have more than other people. But here's what it says. Actually, the generous man, the person who, the boy or the girl or the man or the woman who actually is generous and gives people things and helps people with what they have, that is the person that God says is going to actually be prosperous. That sounds the opposite, doesn't it? If you're giving things away, if you're helping other people and not thinking about yourself, you would think, well, I'm going to run out of stuff, right? But God says, no, it's not that way. Verse 26 says, "He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it." So again, we're talking about how we deal with other people. So if you're willing to help other people, people are going to naturally be thankful for that, right? And again, we're going to have that idea of, you know, someone who thinks, well, that's a good person. A person that acts that way, they're doing the right thing. But 27, it says, "He who seeks evil, evil will come to him." All of those evil things we were talking about, cheating and stealing and being selfish and talking bad about other people and putting other people down to get ahead, all those kind of things, those are the very things that are going to come back and begin to happen to people who live their lives acting that way. All right, so when we come down to the very last verse. This is where kind of the main thing is that I want you to take away. The last verse says, if the righteous will be rewarded in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? And that's kind of confusing. And when I read that, I was like, well, that seems kind of like an odd thing to end this chapter on. But do we always see people who do good here on earth? Do we always see them get rewarded? Mm-hmm. Every time somebody does the right thing or does the good thing, do they immediately get rewarded and everybody looks at them and says, oh, nope. They're great. Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. No, we don't see that, do we? Yeah. We don't always see somebody who does the right thing immediately get rewarded or become prosperous or become successful. But what God is saying here through Proverbs, he's saying that we do see righteousness, we do see people who follow his commands be rewarded here on earth. How much more do you think that God is going to reward someone who follows him off this earth when their time here on earth is done? If God is able to reward someone who is kind of imperfectly righteous here on earth, how much more is God going to reward someone who has followed what he said in trusting his son as their savior? God promises that he will reward those who seek him. And along with that, then, the negative side of that is if we see that people who do wicked things and evil things here on earth, if they receive punishment here on earth, do you think God is also able to punish them? Yes, he is. And we're going to go to a verse here in 1 Peter, which is in the New Testament. And so Peter, who is one of the disciples, actually used that last verse in a letter he was writing to some other Christians. And he's trying to encourage them because they were going through some of those things we were talking about, where they weren't always seeing people who were following God, who were trusting in Jesus. They didn't see those people being rewarded here on earth. They were suffering. They were going through some really difficult things. And Peter wrote to them, and this is what he said. He said, don't get down when you see these kind of suffering, this suffering that's happening in your life. In verse 18, he says, and if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. So what Peter is saying there is, even though sometimes you don't immediately see a reward for doing the right thing, you don't immediately see something good come from doing what you know is right here on earth, God is the one who is ultimately going to reward those things, and that we need to trust that he is really in charge and he's able to take care of us, even when those difficult things are happening in our life here on earth. So I want you to think about that. I think a lot of times in Proverbs, we feel like, well, if I live this certain way, then everything is going to go really smoothly and easily for me. And there may be some times where that happens because you're doing what's right. But what Peter says is that maybe not always going to be the case, but you still need to keep doing the right thing. You still need to be listening to God and obeying what he said. And most of all, we need to make sure that we're not trusting in our own righteousness, right? Like we said before, we don't have enough righteousness to please God. And so we need to look to someone else, and that someone else is Jesus. And so Jesus is the one who came and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross for our sins and gave us his righteousness so that we truly can be, like Proverbs says, we can be righteous like Jesus is righteous because he died for us. And we need to trust that he's done that for us. All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll close in prayer and then we'll get into our memory verses. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we just thank you for the good listening that was going on, and I just pray that you'd be working in the hearts of all these kids that are here tonight. I'd help them to understand what real righteousness is, and that we can only have it by trusting what you did on the cross to pay for our sins, and that, as Peter says, that we will continue to live in a way to follow you and to honor you with our lives, even when things seem like we're not being rewarded for those things here on earth. Just pray that you would help us to see the reward that is future for those who follow you and seek you. In Jesus' name, amen.